this meeting of Committee of the Whole to order. I'd like to welcome everybody here today. Under 1.1, changes approval of agenda, I have no changes to the agenda. A motion to approve the agenda circulated would be in order. Moved by Councilor Fitz, seconded by Councilor Freilich. Ready for the question? All those in favor, raise your hands. Thank you. Unanimous. I would entertain a motion for approval of the Committee of the Whole minutes for February 21st. Do I have a mover? Councilor New, seconded Councilor Kelly. Ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor? Unanimous. Thank you. And we will now move to the public comments section. I would ask those that do present to give their name, address, and limit their discussion to 5 minutes or less. Thank you. Mr. Robinson?
Do I get the full 5 minutes this morning?
You may.
Yeah, Leon Robinson, College Street in Liverpool. Just a couple of things, Mr. Mayor. First of all, reading in the press recently with respect to the our local airport up there, it was nice to see that the Flying Club apparently are going to be doing some upgrading to the facilities up there and providing fuel for aircraft and so on. So I would think that would certainly help help the area there and make the airport more viable. It's good to see that. And also, well, we have an economic development presentation here this morning, and I see focusing on events and so on, and we'll be hearing that just a bit later. And I was wondering if at some point maybe the Economic Development Department would be given a presentation with respect to the businesses that they visit, not necessarily names and so on, but what they're trying to bring new business industry and so on into the area. Maybe that could be a presentation at some point in time. I know the Social Opportunities Agency are presenting this morning with respect to assistance to get businesses started, and maybe that will answer the question there. I mentioned to you, Mr. Mayor, a couple of months ago with respect to having public input before the budget is approved, and I was wondering if you gave any consideration to that, like having public meetings or having people come to the meeting. And I noticed other municipal units are advertising for people to come and have their input into the budget before it's approved by the town or municipality. Has that been given any thought, Mr. Mayor?
We are in the process at this point in time, and no deliberation has been held as to exactly how we move that forward.
Okay, but it's still being considered, is
yes.
That right? If I could, my 5 minutes is not, just one final question. I know at the next meeting, there's a public hearing with respect to the Old Mill Village School and the sale of it for a dollar, and I know the Act calls that you have your public meeting for input and so on, and it's being sold, as I understand, to a nonprofit organization for the amount of a dollar. And I was reading what was in the paper yesterday. My question is, the not-for-profit organization, when that is sold, if that goes ahead, is there any tax revenue from that where it's a nonprofit organization?
It's my understanding of a nonprofit that if there is an asset or value remaining upon dissolution, that that must be donated to another similar nonprofit.
So in other words, the municipality will not receive any tax revenue from if it goes through.
That would all be determined through a agreement of sale.
Okay, so that's still in the works then, is it? Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Any other from the public gallery today? Hearing none, we will move on. Under 2.1, we have a presentation today, Social Opportunities. Krista Harding, if you'd like to come forward.
Thank you very much for allowing a little time, Mr. Mayor. I appreciate that.
Happy to have you.
I'm not sure if there's a presentation on here.
Yes,
is there?
It's terrific.
While that's coming up, we'll do this. Just give you a little bit of material.
Good morning, Krista.
Thank you, Joe. thanks for having me. I think most of you know about social opportunities, but there are a few new faces around the table with this new municipal election. So I'll just take a moment, if I may, just to say about what social opportunities is. We are a non-government organization, very local, and there are 13 of us in Nova Scotia, and everyone is independent, but we have an association. So each one is run differently because it's run by its own local business people, but we all get together and talk because we all have a common good. And there are 41 of these in the Atlantic provinces, and there are 269 across Canada. Again, all of them are different. If you went to Alberta, you may find that organization operates differently. You may find the one in Annapolis Royal runs differently than ours does. Ours is very, very business focused. A little bit of background on it is that originally in Queens County in 1990, there was a downturn in the fishery out in Port Mattoon, as you know, and there was an organization set up at the time called Community Futures to do a strategic plan for Queens County at that time. And one of the options of it was to say, we think that if there was an organization that could just help people who wanted to start a business, that might be useful to the community. And at that time, they got some money from the federal government. And at that time, it was less than $1 million that they got from the federal government. Since then, our organization has expanded into Lunenburg County at the request of Lunenburg County, and we have lent out $17 million. So we just get the money back. People pay us back because it's very community-minded. Most people want to pay the money back with interest, and then we can lend it out again. So that's really the concept behind it. It's not rocket science. It's just helping people, really. It's run by volunteer people. I want to be very clear that we help people very much hands-on. If they want to plan an idea for a business, whether they're in business, whether they're looking to do a business, and when they're in business, they can be looking to do something different, or they can be having some challenges. We're happy to sit down. We just had a customer service satisfaction survey done that was just completed. We had somebody from outside the area independently call up people and also do an email survey with people. And apparently, the thing they like the best is that we listen to people. So when they looked at the top priorities, they said the listening and advice was important, number one. The helping get through red tape was number two. The helping them do a financial plan, that number counting business plan, was number three, and lending money was number four, which was interesting. Our strength is in our volunteer business people, and we do have 11 volunteer business people on the board at the moment, very happy to say. Our lending, there is no minimum. My favorite story is that I one time lent in Queens County $500 to a guy to buy a chainsaw so he could go in the woods and make himself a living. That doesn't happen so much anymore. Our maximum is $150,000. On occasion, we can go higher than $150,000, but it's a little bit more stringent. Our requirements are a little bit more stringent than that. We like to be very flexible on the repayment. That's why we like people to do a financial plan, because we like them to say, really, this is when we think our money is coming in, and this is when we think our money is going out. So we try to make a repayment terms that fit that. We don't have structured box lending. Ours is fairly flexible. We do charge interest, and the interest is based on a sliding scale, based on how much security is being offered, how much money people are putting into it, and what their business management experience is, and what their credit is. During 15-16, we helped the 13 Nova Scotian businesses, CBDCs all together, helped 467 businesses, dispersed $21 million, and created or maintained 1,500 jobs, counseled over 3,500 people. More locally in social opportunities, we had 162 new inquiries. In 15-16, it was about 72 from Queens and 90 from Lunenburg. It had been historically, and I'll talk about now in a moment, but it had been historically about 50-50, even though Lunenburg had a higher population, we used to find that Queens County had had quite an entrepreneurial spirit, and therefore we would get quite a bit. I do want to say that this year, as I'm finishing up my year this year, that our inquiries for Queens County people that want to start or expand businesses is down significantly. So any help that you can do to encourage people to try something on their own, as I say, we will listen, we will give them advice, and there is no cost for that. So if you can encourage a little bit of that during the coming year, it would be very much appreciated. We're going to try a few new turns to try and encourage a little bit more of that. In 15-16, we saw 24 loan applications, people applying for $1.7 million. 10 of those were in Queens County. We committed, was down last year, just under $700,000, about 50-50 from Queens. And I'll just add that we're not done this year, but we're pretty darn close. And so I will say that we've seen a request for $1.9 million this year, and we have already committed $1.3 million, so it's significantly up again this year over last year. The people are asking for more money. I want to encourage also that if somebody just needs a small loan to do a small something, we're perfectly happy to give all that free help and do a small loan just to get something started. I just said that. The other thing that I'd like, and I'll try to keep it short, Mr. Mayor, so the other thing I'd like to take this opportunity to thank this county, your municipality, very much for the help with doing the climate data study project. It is now complete after 5 years. And I have left a copy, Jill, I'm gonna leave a hard copy here, I just photocopied. And it is also easily available online if you go to our socialopportunities.com website. There is a link, and under links, we have a whole section just for the climate study there. So if anybody is not familiar with it and wants to have a conversation about it at some point, I'm not a scientist. Please don't ask me scientific questions. But there is lots of that information in here. And we have seen people wanting to do things as a result of this. So it's really encouraging. We're seeing people, younger people that want to move to the area, and they're leaning on this information, which is really nice. There is the link. So whoever has the copy of this presentation can share that if anybody wants it, or as I said. And also, the Nova Scotia Community College Center for Geographic Sciences continues to gather information that's available, just so you know that. And so if you go on the site that says AgriWeather Network, if a site is operating, then you can still see the current live data. And also on each site, if you click on that AgriWeather Network, if you click on each one, you can also get a report on that individual site for all of the years, which for anybody that's actually interested in doing something might find that information very useful. There is a website now called growsouthwestnovascotia.ca, which has, again, links to the AgriWeather Net, the live sites, and it also has a lot of resources for people that are interested in agriculture. The municipality of Lunenburg, I think in cooperation with the other municipalities, has taken this website over, which is really nice because it will need to be maintained, which we were looking for someone to do that. So in summary, social opportunities, we can help business, and we want to do it right from the idea forward. So if somebody has an idea, it doesn't cost them anything to come in and have a conversation. Or if they're having trouble with their business, it doesn't cost them anything to come in and have a conversation. I don't guarantee that we can solve all their problems or make their business work, but what we can do is give them the tools to make their own decisions. That I can promise you we can do. We like to listen. We like to roll up our sleeves. We have two business officers available to help people one-on-one with doing business plans. People are doing it themselves, but they're doing it with the help and guidance of people that have done one or 500 of these before. So our website is socialopportunities.com. And thank you for the opportunity.
Any councillors have questions or comments? Councillor Johnson?
I just, Chris, I'd like to ask, the climate data study, is that, where does the Southwest Nova Biosphere fit into that? Because I noticed some emails coming across, you know, where I'm a representative of that. Is that something that they partnered with, or are they,
no.
Or is it totally different again?
Yeah, that what they, this was not Southwest Biosphere involvement, unless it was through COGS. It could well have been through COGS. We asked the Center for Geographic Sciences to partner on this, and Perennia partnered on this at the time, so. Yeah.
Okay,
but it's all the information is publicly available. That was the whole purpose of this, was to make it so then the Southwest Biosphere wants to use that information as they go on and do other projects, at least it's groundwork. The reason that CBDC, ourselves, and Shelburne and Yarmouth CBC got into this in the first place 5 years ago was because we were having people come in to talk about business ideas in agriculture, and there was no data available at all. And we asked agriculture, and there didn't seem to be any projects brewing at the time. So it, old history, it took us 2 years to find the money to get this together. And that's why I say I really want to thank the municipalities, because it was really paramount that we all, and CBDC's kicked in some money too, in order to be able to finally encourage the government to be able to go ahead and provide the funding for it, let us do this. So, does that answer that?
It may be helpful, I can clarify somewhat, Councillor Johnson. The Southwest Nova Biosphere Reserve Association is working on a science atlas project, which will incorporate all scientific data known in Southwest Nova Scotia, which would be looking to include the climate data study. So
good.
It will be part of a bigger project, but all
that's
very
terrific.
Good research.
Great.
Deputy Mayor McLeod?
Krista, under the climate data study, and it's talking about agriculture, and it's talking about temperatures and solar radiation, whatever. So that's the heat from the
sun.
Sun, and then, of course, the soil conditions or whatever. Has that been tested yet? Or is
the
that
soil, the soil is not included in this.
Okay.
The soil data that's still available is from the 1950s. We were told that it would be in the millions to do a to do proper soil sampling.
Okay.
So we said we were lucky to find the money for this. So this one looked at, yes, the solar radiation. It looked at the temperature. And in the last few years, we were able to also add in rainfall and wind speeds on it too, which was helpful. So
I'm thinking then of it, of greenhouses and hot, you know, would that this data, would that be appropriate for someone doing a study on that? Because that would certainly resolve the issue of the soil that we may not have that's appropriate for growing.
Mm-hmm.
But setting up, and I have a thought, you know, utilizing the excess steam from the Nova Scotia Power,
mm-hmm.
that would certainly play into a study of how things could operate as a hothouse.
Yes.
Greenhouse.
Yes, and if I was the person that was looking at that, the first people I would call would be Perennia, to get them to help. They're very familiar with this project,
okay.
They are a separate organization. It used to be a government department, but a number of years ago they became a separate organization. If you just Google Perennia.ca,
okay.
you'll get them, and they have staff there that are scientists. That are available for consult with private individuals about their ideas.
Okay.
And usually there'll be a specialist, for example, in berries or in hops or in those various, they'll have specialties in various areas, and they're really wonderful people.
Councillor Freeman?
Krista, I know you've had, and I've asked you this before, and we've talked about it, many successes, but one of the things, you know, you're trying to, lots of younger generation don't really know what social opportunities is, so I know that that's a challenge. One of the things I always like to see are some of your past successes, like kind of connecting them, telling their success stories.
Mm-hmm.
And because I think when people recognize a business that succeeded and you connect it back to social opportunities, then it kind of clicks. So,
mm-hmm.
And in saying that, again, I've asked you this before, one of your best success stories which, you know, for the South Shore was quite amazing, which is for you?
HB Studios, yeah.
Yes.
Also, I want to say that we're trying to actually put these success stories into stories.
Right.
And if you, I have now running, I've just put down on Social Opportunities in the entranceway, a running revolving series of stories of all the CBDCs in the Atlantic provinces, and they're really fun to watch. If you Google, if you just Google YouTube at CBDC success story, you can hear their stories, and it's really very organic, these stories that people have.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a couple on there. So CBDCs in general, that's how what we're trying to do now is share, to know that it's real people that are starting these businesses. It's not, these are not multi-billion dollar businesses. These are just people wanting to make a living, maybe hire a person or two, and occasionally they flourish like HB Studios did. But there are others. There are others that just hire one or two people, and they're just as much of a success.
Thank you. Any other counselors?
Yeah.
Councilor Kelly.
Thanks. Great presentation. And we've heard before. We've had Vibe Talks, which was really good to get the message out. So any time to get the message out for South Shore Opportunities is a great thing in CBDC. I've often wondered. We have people that would be great entrepreneurs, but maybe have the wrong ideas or the wrong business plan, then we have a lot of businesses that would really flourish here in our community. And I've always wondered about, you know, how do you bring those two together? Like, as Social Opportunities, you guys know what opportunities would really do well here in our community, and it's maybe finding that right entrepreneur to take that on, as well as, say, with the Chamber of Commerce and the North Queens Board of Trade. Do you work with those particular groups and trying to bring those two things together? Has that ever been a way to sort of like grow your business and get more people in business here by putting those two things together?
What we've been doing, Heather, and we just sort of fell into this in the last year, but when you say this, that, I'll share that without breaching client confidences, that what we've been doing in the last little while is if we see an established business and we see a new entrepreneur, and I'm going to use an example that I'm working on right now, which is involving a Syrian newcomer to the community, is interested in starting a business, but I know that that's going to be a steep uphill climb because it's hard enough for somebody that knows the culture and all of the red tape that they're going to have to go through. So we've been trying just, again, very organically, just to say, you've got this, you want to do this, how about if we match you together? And there is some sort of protection and synergy, and maybe eventually that person will break off and go on their own and grow their own, but I just think that they could use the protection of an existing business person who is also interested in getting the extra help and the new insights. Sometimes that's a young person, the young energetic youth coming into an existing business. And we are seeing some of that. We are seeing now starting to see some of these other businesses that are getting to the point where the owners are going to want to succeed. We're starting to see some interest in that. So
okay.
Is that helpful in answering
yeah, that's
the question?
That's really good. Like you say,
yeah.
I think it wasn't so long ago you had an open house down at Social Opportunities, and I wasn't able to...
that was the Career Center.
Oh,
that
the
was
Career
a
Center, okay.
Solutions.
I wasn't able
that,
to
yeah.
attend that. But, you know, is that something that's on your agenda in for the near futures, to have an open house and maybe bring those, present those opportunities? Like, this is what would be really... This is, like, based on the climate change, you know, we could use somebody doing this in our community. Is there an entrepreneur that never thought about that, or somebody maybe never thought of themselves an entrepreneur, but when they're presented with the right opportunity, think, oh, I would love to do that,
mm-hmm.
right? And then mentor them from there, just like say to bring those together.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that would be really great to have an open house to bring those ideas
mm-hmm.
and those people together
mm-hmm.
to maybe egg on some of those opportunities
yeah.
that they might have. Yeah.
That's a very good idea. Thank you.
Councilor Fraley? Councilor Fancy,
after. Oh, if Jack wants to go first, it's okay.
Councilor Fancy, I'll let you go first then.
Yeah, Krista, you talked about it. It's sad to hear about the low level of applications here in our area, because it looks like there's nobody at this particular time trying to do something. to try and start up businesses.
It's the inquiries that I worry about. I don't care so much about the applications for financing, because maybe people don't want to get used financing, or maybe we can help them get the money somewhere else. But when the inquiries about business ideas are down, that's when I worry, Mr. Fancy.
Then you worry about what's going, you know, nobody's interested.
Yeah, that's what makes me worry a little bit. I don't care so much about the financing part of, I care about the financing part, but I'm, my concern for economic development raises when people aren't asking about ideas.
Right.
That's
and that's why when we look at our population decrease, we want to be able to see people who want to be able to do things, which is kind of a backlash of this.
Yeah. So we're going to try a few different things this year and see if we can spark a little interest. That's an interesting idea, and we're going to try some other things too.
Along with that, I know one lady who's already applied this year, and it's exciting. So I know that it isn't dead. It's just a matter of there's just low levels right at this particular time.
Right.
One thing that concerns me is I know we've got agricultural day. I don't think it's happened yet. But
Saturday.
This coming Saturday. But I know I was to it last year, and there's so many things that can be done,
mm-hmm.
and there's so many things that we have here existing already of maybe dairy farms, and when we saw dairy farms are falling off. There's no young people coming in to do the dairy farms anymore. That most of the people at the dairy farms have older people in there. We have apple orchards and things like that. The good people are going to die off, and the apple orchards are going to die. I can still remember the one at Middlefield. It used to be a fantastic apples, and it's just gone to nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So is there anything where we try to connect those people together, or try to get somebody else who would want to come in and be able to keep that alive,
mm-hmm.
and instead of starting from fresh?
And that's what we've been trying to do, is encourage if somebody's coming in. You have to be careful, because you can't breach client confidentiality.
Right.
So the existing business has to say, yes, I'm interested in this concept.
Mm-hmm.
And it's time consuming,
mm-hmm.
but we're okay with that. But I'm just saying, nothing happens really quickly, because it's something that's going to take years for that relationship to grow together, but certainly. But I am on a positive note. I want to say again, I am seeing this past year, I'm seeing businesses, like employees of businesses, starting to say, I think I might be able to take that over, which we hadn't seen that for a number of years. So I am eternally a hopeful person. So, but I think that's why I just was asking for your help in encouraging people, even from a small idea. We'd love to have a conversation. Doesn't cost anything, and we're pretty easy to talk to. So,
Councillor Fell,
it kind of goes on with Councillor Fancy's question. The numbers that were down in Queens County, in Lunenburg, are you seeing them
the same
go down? Same.
No, it's the same. Yeah.
It's
so that's why
number.
I wanted to bring that up.
Okay.
Is that just this year? Like historically, they've been about the same. And I say again, even though this is a population of 10,000. And that's a population of 45,000, right? So this has been very strong entrepreneurially. So we're just in a blip, but that's why I just want to mention it. So because you're in the community all the time with your constituents, so.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Deputy Mayor McLeod.
Krista, and I know, and I don't know your process, you may be doing this already, getting the message out to potential business, people that want to operate their own business, entrepreneurs, whatever, that you want them to come in with their ideas and sit down and discuss things. Have you, you may have done this, but try the reverse approach. This is what we need here. Is there anyone out there, maybe give them the thoughts? Okay, yeah, I would like to do that. Never really thought of it.
Well, we're not opportunity specialists. You know, we're not,
no.
We're not specialists in saying this would work here. Plus,
no, but just
to be honest,
discussion.
There's a liability
yeah.
piece to go along
yeah.
with that.
But you know what's a bit, what we need here. All of us know what we could use here, but there just doesn't seem to be anybody that wants to take the first step to try to fill those vacancies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's what Agriculture Day is about, and Perennia is there to be support. I use that as an example in that industry, and it could be the same thing in tourism. Down in our front lobby, we have all the books that province of Nova Scotia did on tourism operations, establishing a bed and breakfast, and all of those things. All those books are sitting there right in the front. There's lots of tourism statistics available. We're hearing on the radio how strong tourism was last year. So maybe it's time for people to step their foot in. But you have to be brave. you have to be brave to be in business.
Oh,
there's
absolutely.
No doubt. So
yeah.
Any other councillors? Chris, I was wondering, would it be a fair statement to say that the climate data study identified areas in Queens and Lunenburg that were comparable, if not equal, to the best growing areas in the valley?
You absolutely can say that. It's stated in black and white that the opinion of somebody, a retired person from Perennial, states exactly that. Milton, Mr. Fancy, Milton, has lovely hot spots for grape. He uses grapes as his example product when he's talking about using examples. And Milton was identified as having lovely hot spots there.
Thank you. Well, thank you, Krista Harding, for the
thank
presentation.
You.
Very appreciated.
Thanks. Thanks for having me. We'll see you hopefully again next year. I drop in any time.
I would ask Jill Crookshank, our Director of Economic Development, to come forward. We're going to go to 2.2, Economic Impact Presentation.
So thank you, Mayor and Council, for inviting me to make this presentation today. I'm really excited to bring a review of 2016 events to you because it's so great to showcase the wide variety of events that we had hosted here in 2016 and the vast amount of volunteer effort that a small community puts together to host these. And this originally started with the previous council when we launched the event framework back in December 2015, I think it was. And so the idea was to look at the economic impact of events on our county. But in going through the process, I collected a lot of information, and I apologize, the slides are a bit word heavy, but I was trying to synthesize it and get it into as concise format as I could. But I realized that it's not so easy for our events to collect the economic impact information. But as a sidebar, I found out, you know, how much community pride the events cause, and also the event organizers themselves, who get funding from the federal government and provincial government, etc., they are spending as much as they can of their money to host the event actually in the community as well. So that's another kind of money coming into the community that's enriching the community, that is sort of another aspect to it all. So this focuses on multi-day events and those that bring a significant amount of people into the community. It's not exhaustive, I have to apologize, I haven't been able to cover every event, but it's I tried to hit on the major ones that really did have an impact on us last year. And I did create documents for the events to collect this information. And really, I know how busy they are just trying to put on the events themselves. They scramble to get enough volunteers, and it's a lot of work. So I was very conscious of adding to their workload. So I just said to them, do the best you can, you know, talk to me if you're having trouble, and we'll work on it together, and just give me, you know, as many stats as you can, or indeed anecdotal bits of information, because I know that's always nice to hear, those stories that go along with the figures. So with that, I think we'll get on to the first event, which was sorry, I don't know why IP has gone down there. It didn't on Dana's computer. So last April we hosted the Female Bantam AA Championship, and Queens County Minor Hockey were the hosts, and they had teams from all over Atlantic Canada, New Brunswick PEI, Nova Scotia, Newfoundland, and the home team was Western Riptides. And each team brought with them 20 people, including coaches, and every 4 years it comes to Nova Scotia, so we have the opportunity in Nova Scotia to host it every 4 years. So for this, Best Western was full. They got 256 room nights out of it over the 4 days. Quarterdeck accommodated a team, and I think there were other businesses, obviously, that benefited from this. So this was bringing in people from all over Atlantic Canada, and for our part, we gave them a $500 grant from the recreation grants for hosting the event. Both in October and April, we hosted the Jehovah's Witness Assembly, and this is essentially a one-day event, but quite a lot of people come in the night before, and there's buses of people come from the Valley and Halifax, so around about 1,800 people a time. Best Western was at capacity, so obviously they are staying. Queen's Place was booked, and we provided information on accommodations and restaurants, which was sent out to all the members, and the hub did very well. They have two conferences a year in the province, and so we've got them coming back again for definite in April, and we're hopeful that we're going to get them back again in October. They love Queen's Place, and they love the setup that we've got there around Queen's Place, and they're just an excellent group to host. They leave the place spotless. They are so well organized, so it's a really a joy to have them coming along. Following that, we had our hosted the first race in the Run Nova Scotia series for 2016 with Run Our Shore, the end of April at Queen's Place, and that brought in about 200 runners, 70% of which were from outside of Queens, and it's a great opportunity to showcase Queen's Place and the shoreline. It takes people out around Brooklyn and Beach Meadows, and it was a beautiful day. And so there's all kinds of opportunities for people to be involved at different distances and the youth and different levels of mobility. And it's quite exciting with the disco going and the official timing and the start and finish line and all the buzz around it and getting medals and things. So it's really quite a nice thing to do. And I guess we've got that coming back again this year too. So we hope we get as good a weather as we did last year for that. Then in May we had the theater festival came back. Now they had a couple of companies that actually had to drop out because they always have sort of visa or different issues trying to get into the country. Or leave their own country or whatever. So, but what was interesting was that they sold more tickets than in previous years, even though they had less productions. And so they host, as well as the performances themselves, there's coffee critiques the next morning, there's musical theatre workshops for the schools, and they did a reception in the town hall for the Lieutenant Governor, and the festival club at Lanes, where they do internationally themed evening events. So it's a great shoulder season event which happens every other year. So they have a lot of their participants are billeted because they're more students and younger people in these theatre groups that travel. So only about 10% of them stayed paid accommodation out of the sort of actors, etc. The rest were billeted, but they came up with a new thing last year to partner with the eateries and get the eateries to accept vouchers, which the participants were able to purchase at a reasonable price and get a good meal for it. And so that got them around various restaurants that had partnered with them. Sorry. And so there were about 187 of those vouchers that were cashed in, and I think everybody was happy, the restaurants and the participants were happy with the way that went. So they try and spend as much of their budget as they can within Queens, have about 50 volunteers, and they partnered with other organizations this year. Last year, the Arts Council, they did Jester fish painting workshops and haunted hikes and the gift gallery that Susan knows all about, so where all the artisans are showcased and folks can sell stuff. So it's a really happening thing, and we give them 4,000 from grants to organizations, and their focus very much is on youth and keeping the theatre alive in the younger generation, so those people are growing up through and going to keep our theatre active. They do workshops in the schools, and they did matinees for the schools to attend, and also had the youth as part of their technical crew. So so that's really a really great legacy piece that they do. In May, there was the Hot on the Ice 4th annual tournament, which is an unofficial tournament with 10 adult female teams, 9 from Nova Scotia, 1 from New Brunswick, hosted by the Liverpool Lady Cougars. And they just have a great time and really enjoy themselves. They managed to get many sponsors and partners. The Best Western had some room nights out of it, and actually gave them space for a karaoke event in lieu of sponsorship. And we gave $500 from our tournament assistant grant for that one. And so that's bringing in, you know, about 90 people to our community. Drag racing, we have 5 events from May to September, 1 a month, 2 to 3 day events out at the airport. They continue to grow from year to year. In terms of participants, depending on the weather, I think they get between 80 and 200 for each event who come from outside Queens, and they do draw from New Brunswick and PEI as well as all over Nova Scotia, and they are very closely involved with the Drag Race Association that they all meet to coordinate their events, so nobody's sort of overlapping and everybody more or less gets the same weekends every year. They averaged last year about 617 spectators per event, but you know, it's more up around 1,000 that they get, and just for 20 to 25 volunteers who put that on. But I know they are very loyal to their sponsors, and Best Western in Liverpool is one of those, and Transcotia, who both benefit from it, and they do patronize the restaurants and gas stations and grocery stores, and the sponsorship reach is all over Southwest Nova Scotia. So many of the folks who actually are on the way to the drag racing who sponsored do benefit because they stop in as they're traveling in this direction. And we don't give them any money at all. They give us money. So we get revenue every time they use the airport, or they pay roughly $500 a day. We've just entered into a new contract with them for a 15-year term, the same as for the Flying Club. And so they're actually going to be getting some slight increase in the amount they give us. The drag racers are going to give us slightly more. Every 5 years, there's a sort of an escalator clause in their agreement that they'll give us sort of $50 more race going through into the future. So they're just an excellent group to work with, and it's a great attraction for our community. Privateer Days, well, Privateer Days is huge, and happens in June, towards the end of June now. I focused on a few of the many, many events that Privateer Days encompasses. And it seems every year it gets bigger, and there's more and more partner organizations and events that are brought into the umbrella of Privateer Days. They're really quite organized. They have 15 subcommittees for all different things, and over 100 volunteers. And we give them 10,000 historically from the Grants to Organizations Fund. They get about 61,000 other funding, and about 17,000 from sponsors. So it's not an insubstantial budget to put that on. So in terms of municipal support, as well as the $10,000, we give them use of various of our properties, and we, you know, do the delivery of garbage receptacles, the sorting stations, picnic tables, barricades, and obviously waive the consumption of alcohol for the entertainment tent in Privateer Park. So just a few of the things. The open air market last year attracted 45 vendors. It has 20 volunteers. There are about 4,000 attendees, and it does bring in a lot of local vendors and also new vendors as well who you know, like to try, and they know they're going to get a good good sales that weekend because of the amount of people that there are around town. Privateer Road, 5 mile road race happens over that weekend, and partnership with Run Nova Scotia, and they had 150 participants and run that with just 10 volunteers. Last year, for the first time, we partnered with the South Shore Multicultural Festival, and it was the first time hosting it in Queens County, and it was such a success that they're coming back again this year, which is really exciting. And you know, there was such colourful and lively and engaging participants. You know, there were 100 people participating in that, and a lot of people came out to see that, and I think it will only grow, and it helps to, you know, work towards us being a welcoming community and encouraging diversity in our community. So it's good to have that one coming back. The entertainment tent, again, around 4,000 attendees. It's not insubstantial that, you know, the tent itself cost 10,000, the sound and security. There are over 20 local and East Coast bands, and the bands all get paid. Admission's free all day until 7 p.m. and free all day Sunday, and it's always a popular place to go. The Lumberjack Show with Darren Hudson, that's a great family event, and he does a great show over the 3 days with all the traditional lumberjack events, and that draws about 2,000 attendees and 5 to 8 participants, and it costs $3,000. And I suppose what the point I'd make about Privateer Days is it is hard to count the numbers because things aren't gated, apart from the entertainment tent, when people do pay a cover charge to go in after 7 o'clock. Everything else is free, and as you can see, everything comes at a price, but people just love it and really embrace the that weekend to come home, visit their family, because they want to take part in Privateer Days. So new for last year was a partnership with the museum to host the historical encampment and wedding, and that again drew about 2,000 people, cost $4,000, and there were 30 participants, 20 volunteers involved in that one. And the parade, which is the heart of Privateer Days, brings a huge sense of community to Queens, and the Lions Club are great sponsors for that with $4,000. But again, the streets are lined with people, and there's over 200 participants and 20 plus volunteers. So the number of volunteers there are is really quite small in comparison with how many people that each event draws in. The Privateer Rum Run, the water event across the Mersey, is very popular. They pay an entry fee for that, teams of 5. Ironworks sponsored it, and I drew about 1,500 people, and 50 participants, 20 volunteers. On the Sunday, there's an ecumenical church service, which has grown from 50 people to a maximum of about 450, and it's a great partnership with the churches. And also there was the geocaching event, which brings many people to the community in costume, and 150 people and 5 to 10 volunteers. And that helps to bring to life the privateering theme and history, and gives people a way to engage with that and have fun at the same time. So economic impact. All the accommodations, Best Western was sold out, Lanes was sold out for 3 nights, and the band stayed at Trans Scotia. White Point was sold out. All the restaurants reported between 20 and 70% more business. and many stores and retailers reported extra sales as well. So it's really an opportunity for downtown stores to work together to entice people into their stores, because it's an event that happens in the downtown and really brings it to life for 3 days in June. Then we had the Beach Boys concert, June 30th. Everybody knows that was a 100-minute sellout. It was very exciting event, and it brought a lot of positive comments to the community. Best Western was full. Lanes had reservations for 120 people. It was very busy. White Point was already full, but the community was really abuzz when this concert came to town. Now, this isn't very easy to read, but basically, this was an analysis of where the people actually came from that bought tickets. So they may not necessarily have been from there, it's where they were when they bought the tickets. So some, it says 27% of people, you know, were from Queens County, but they may well have bought tickets for their family that came from who knows where to watch it with them. But it's just an indicator of the spread. So there was 27% from Queens, 21% from Lunenburg, 20 from Halifax, 10 from Yarmouth, 10 from Shelburne, and the Valley, Hants County, Cape Breton, Pictou, and also out of province. But I know from personal experience that a lot of folks' family do come home for Privateer Days and were in the area for that that Beach Boys concert. So, and there were some huge, hugely wonderful comments. Some people came from Truro. If you remember, the Beach Boys were playing in Truro as well, and we had a good partnership with them, but they actually came to Queen's Place because the acoustics were better here. And people said the show was much more intimate here. I think the band said that, the one they did in Newfoundland, it was much more intimate, and they sold more merchandise here. The band said it was a beautiful facility. They couldn't believe we have something like this in a community so small. The crowd was amazing. They loved the dancing and the singing and the energy and the general atmosphere in the place. And they appreciated everything they, having everything they asked for and more. And they said it was a beautiful area from what they saw. So that was nice. Kudos to Queen's Place for that. And just to mention the Port Medway Readers Festival. Now this happens over various weekends, just a one evening thing, but it's grown over the years. It brings a lot of people to Port Medway, and it sells out with people from Lunenburg, Halifax, and summer residents from BC and Ontario love it, and it has a lot of volunteer support from the community, and has a big impact on Port Medway and the little stores that are there. The Port Grocer supports it and benefits it, and you know, such things as the Port Grocer, you know, stocking the books that are going to be read from ahead of time so that people can buy them, etc. It's, you know, it's a great sort of partnership, and this year is going to be their 15th year, would you believe? So it's a great job, and for those people who've got those contacts with those authors, you know, it's great that they've actually brought them to our community, and so we can all meet them and enjoy them. East Coast Paracon in August was a conference for those interested in paranormal, and it's a fairly contained event. It's, you know, a conference people pay to come to, but they did have the psychic medium, Sean Leonard at the Astor Theatre, that was open to the whole of the community. But they do paranormal investigations in old heritage buildings that are deserted, and nighttime ghost walks. And the Best Western, I think, are hosting it this year again, and they sold the 43 room nights, and, you know, it's a very well organised event. Does bring folks to the community. So yeah, they have 15 volunteers. They had about 90 attendees, 88 Canadian, two from the US, 15 out of town presenters, two from the US, and they didn't ask us for any money. We provided them with items for their welcome bags just to promote the community, and there's a very good relationship between the organisers and the Best Western, but other local accommodations benefit as well from that. I should just mention as well, because I've kind of missed it out in the flow of things, but I've not included Milton Days in this presentation, and it's not because I wasn't aware of it or anything. It's just I had conversations with people who are closely involved with it, and it is largely a community event, and the thinking is that there is potential there for it to grow, and so this year I've reached out and offered to help them promote it a bit wider, so hopefully we can draw a bit more of an audience for them if they're amenable to that. We have the Hank, sorry, am I going on too long here?
If you could pick it up a little
bit. Yeah, I will. I will.
It's good stuff.
It's lots of good stuff, I know. So the Hank Snow Tribute, again, they broke their record with their number of RVs this year. They had over 115 and almost 2,000 people. We give them $6,000 from grants to organisations, and give them some other support, like their overflow camping at Queen's Crossing, and various support for the campground facilities. They have about 300 volunteers and a lot of volunteer hours. Bring a lot of out-of-town performers and a lot of out-of-town spectators to the area, about 1,500. So they spend about 86% of their budget in Queens, and do have a lot of sponsors and funders and providing kind support. And they do have the volunteer, the visitor shuttle to take people to visit sponsors and the downtown, which is a great connect for the downtown to take people and show them the businesses that we have here. So the local accommodations were full, and as their legacy piece, they're looking to improve their community park down there at the Hank Snow Centre. We had the Memorial Auto Show, which was a one-day event, but you know, was a hugely, hugely popular event, and it's happening again this year, which is really exciting. And I'm sure they'll get more and more partners and participants this year. But as you can see from the aerial photography, Privateer Park and Henry Hensley Drive were just packed with a vast array of motor vehicles there, and people posing and photo opportunities with them. But it was great, and other organisations did create events around this. I know at the VIC, Queen's Association for Supportive Living did a children's carnival event around it, and I'm sure there'll be more of that happening this year. At the same time, we hosted the first provincial baseball tournament to be hosted here in a few years, and so that was exciting. Again, we gave them just a 500 grant towards the cost of their umpires, baseballs, and field maintenance, but they hosted a bunch of teams here, and it'll be nice to get something of that back again. September, there's Queen's County Fair in Caledonia. One thing I became aware of with this, you know, huge community pride in this event. It's a real traditional agricultural fair. It's like stepping back in time, and but it's really well supported by the community, and the organisers spend a lot of money in the community. We give them $6,000 towards grants to from grants to organisations. We also gave them some funding from the rec facility grant towards the installation of some new playground equipment out there, which I gather was very much appreciated by the children. And the accommodations and the businesses were busy. Stores in Caledonia gave mixed feedback. Some saw an impact during the fair, but the organisers do spend a lot locally, and it is huge for community pride. Christmas on the Mersey, that gets bigger every year. They had a lot of events, again, under their umbrella, and a lot of organisations partnered with them and benefited. and it was just wonderful seeing those canoes coming down the river and the powwow and all the other events that went along with it, the house tour, carol singing on Main Street. And they got 3,000 from grants to organizations. They estimate about 600 people were there. And the Holiday Homes tour, I think, was a sellout at 349 tickets. And so it's a great event at Christmas, and it really gets Christmas kicked off in the community. At the same token, in North Queens, they did some events there, a parade, chowder lunch and tree lighting, and they got 250 from us towards their events. But they did a number of events around North Queens that were exciting, including the livestock parade and Christmas at the fairgrounds. Lastly, the Jack Frost tournament, which is a great event, happens between Christmas and New Year, when our accommodations would normally be pretty quiet. And it's a minor hockey event. It brought in 18 teams from 4 divisions, from Yarmouth to Dartmouth. And the volunteers are all parents in Queen's County Hockey. And the accommodations and restaurants are busy. Best Western had 93 room nights in total, and it's a huge volunteer effort goes into to making that happen. So I just finished with some upcoming events for this year. When I did this presentation, the concerts hadn't been announced, so apologies, they're not included in here, but some of them have already happened, like the Polar Bunny Dip at White Point on New Year's Day. They wanted to get 150 ocean dippers, and they got 170, but I wasn't one of them. I'm not brave enough. Starskate was very successful back in February. There were 258 skaters and their families participating in that. And we've got some really exciting things coming up. The Broom Ball Championships, the Sashua Home Expo, and Canada Day is going to be big this year, of course, with it being Canada's 150th, and it's also Caledonia's 200th anniversary this year too, so they've got an exciting year. So I'll just leave you with those slides there, and just want to give a shout out to all the community organizations and dedicated volunteers who put on our events, and say we're always eager to get details of this year's events so we can help to promote them for you. We'll put them on the website, or you can put it on yourself. And also encourage people to put them on NovaScotia.com, because that's the first website people go to when they're planning their vacation to Nova Scotia. So this was quite a bit of work, and I like to sort of counsel to think about how useful it is to have it done, whether it's something we do every year, something we do once in a while. Does it inform policy? Does it inform your decisions for grants to organizations, for instance? Is it something that is just a nice to know, and we'll maybe do it again in 5 years time or something? I just leave that thought with you, but thank you very much for listening. Any questions, anybody?
Thank you, Jill. Any questions or comments of councillors? Councillor Kelly?
That was absolutely wonderful. It's nice to see all of that, and as you say, I would expect to see that every single year. What I think is where we're missing something, or have a huge opportunity to develop, is putting an economic impact figure on that as best we can, and developing that over the years to get better and better at it, put a number on, that would give us a really great idea as how much money that the region gives out to grants to organizations and facility grants and other things, to sort of tie that back to say, what are we getting back for economic development, to sort
mm-hmm.
of look at that. I know there's a number of figures that go into that, like community pride and things like that,
mm-hmm.
but it would be nice to see like how all of that plays out.
Mm-hmm.
I still think there's a link missing, somewhat, like say a really huge opportunity to milk these events for more and more to get out of them, because I know that in the community, I don't think that businesses are well enough informed, and whether they're given the information or really maybe in a bigger way to say, like, this is huge and it's coming to Liverpool, it's coming to Queens County. You know, are you prepared for this? What can you do to help get the word out about where you are and what you provide and things like that? More of a presence of businesses and community things at Queen's Place when these big these events are going on.
Mm-hmm.
I think we need a whole framework, because I mean, it maybe exists, I don't know, but I'd like to see, I don't see it. So I think there's such a huge opportunity to get more out of what actually comes here and help those businesses. I mean, we have Events Liverpool, we have the Chamber of Commerce, we're part of the Chamber of Commerce, North Queens Board of Trade. I mean, or maybe there's another working group that needs to get together to help lift and work with the Region of Queens to help lift these events and give them more. As you say, they're
mm-hmm.
very busy. They have a limited number of volunteers to try to do that work. But I mean, there's right from the beginning when there's a press release out to, you know, to as far wide as you can get it in order to let people know what we're doing here in Queens County. And then it featuring everything that we have here as best we can. And there should be like boom, boom, boom checklist right down every single time there's an event. I mean, I think the last one was Starscape. And I really don't think that the community was prepared for Starscape. There's a lot of people coming here, and I think maybe there could have been a little bit more economic impact gotten from that. But it's about getting the word out and helping these organizations get the word out about their event. So I think there's a huge amount of work we can do with a little amount of effort to keep continuing on this every year to bring that economic
mm-hmm.
development through. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, Steve and I have been talking about that, and I think what it is an education piece, you know, with the business community,
yeah.
because, you know, they're the ones that stand to gain from this, and it's just a case of you know, raising the awareness of the opportunity, and you know, their ability to, you know, work together or work, you know, as a chamber or whatever, and do something, whether it's a coupon book or something to put in the welcome, because most of the events have welcome bags or packages for their participants. So I think it's an education piece, but I do agree that, you know, it's an opportunity we could maximize some more.
Councilor Johnson.
Well, I like Joe. The linkages, and I'm always one for drawing those linkages between what you have here as a starting point and our strategy that we talked about at the last council meeting around showcasing Queens County and North Queens. And it fits very nicely with an initiative that's happening in North Queens tonight, because we're trying to build a network around a single nucleus that talks about everything from building a community calendar, but how do we plug into other networks and things we have to be able to showcase.
Right.
All the good stuff we're doing, and it isn't, you know, it's a two-way street. It's bringing everybody into the bigger events,
mm-hmm.
but also those little mom and pop and local organization
yep.
suppers and dinners.
Oh yeah,
man, they're the heart of
yes.
of these small communities. So hopefully, we're going to be able to work closer as the North Queens
yep.
area with a nucleus, and then spread those networks
yeah.
around.
Yes.
But I really like, you know, this is a great launch pad to make all this happen, but again, always linking it to our strategy of
mm-hmm.
showcasing Queens and North Queens.
Yeah,
like
yeah. No, I think that's
a piece of that.
That's a great initiative in North Queens. I guess all the organizations are meeting in Westfield tonight, and
yes.
they're going to be populating a calendar with all the events they've got planned for the whole year, if they can. And so, yes, and I know Richard Lane is going to be there, and we want all that information back, because we're hungry for that information. You know, it's sometimes it's hard to get the information from folks, and so that's great. And I think it's wonderful to have everybody working together like that.
You know, I think it has to be in my focus, my strategy is to make it more than just populating a calendar. It's developing a process
yes.
around a series of networks.
Yes.
You know, and we're using the VIC as the central point to be able to be the central
yeah.
coordinator for all this. So
yeah.
hopefully it's going to work, and
yeah.
it dovetails beautifully with what you just showed.
Yeah. The other good thing is that, you know, if events are thinking, well, what events happening before mine that I can start promoting my event? What's the next thing that's coming to Queens County, you know, and so, and then that event is promoting what's coming after you, and so it just builds and gets everybody working together and just sort of shows what, you know, a vibrant events community we have here.
Councilor Fisk?
Jill, very good presentation. I enjoyed it very much. Just wondering, how do you collect your information on this to put it together?
Well, I designed some feedback forms for the major events that we fund, and got in touch with the organizers and sort of worked with them on it. And now I was looking for the information to Councillor Kelly's point that I could put into the STEAM, the Sport Tourism Economic Impact Model, to show, to bring out an economic impact figure. But, you know, it's a process of, you know, getting that information from people. It was a first time around, and I just asked them to do the best they could. So I'm hoping that eventually we can get towards, you know, some more robust figures.
Yeah, just one more point. I noticed when you come to the Queens County Fair Association set up, you just mentioned, it was just mentioned, that it must have been a feedback from the organization, the fair itself, because there's several things in that fairgrounds that happens through the whole year.
Right.
The same, you know.
Yes.
And then, and I guess you have to, like, I have another organization that I'd like to see be recognized more in this quorum to, but I think you have to get to that organization, unless the organization come to you.
No, we went to them. Like
so
I
no,
say.
I'm saying now.
Oh, okay. Yes, more than happy for them to come
to
me.
Discuss.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you. Very, very well done, Jill.
Thank you.
Deputy Mayor McFadden.
I think the success of all these wonderful events, and first of all, I can't ever imagine anybody would be bored and not have anything to do in Queens. Because this is something you have to pick and choose where you want to go every weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it's dependent upon the attendance of the local people and others to bring them into our area. And I like the word networking. It's always a favorite word of mine, and that's so important to get all the messages out and to get the collaboration of all the organizations to do things together. And that's coming, and it seems to be working,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it'll be improved as we really recognize the value of working together.
Yeah.
And I think about the media, and I think about, we have all these organized and all these events, and you often hear, well, I didn't know anything about it from a specific person. You say, well, you should have known about it because it was here, it was posted here. And it's always a struggle to know where to get the messages out, how,
mm-hmm.
what's the best effective way. So I think the networking and the fact that you get all these other organizations who have their own way of getting the word out is very important, and I think that's a real
mm-hmm.
struggle to do that in an effective way.
Yeah.
But it's like, yeah, as you say, it's promotion and
yeah.
doing it, get the word out,
yeah.
which is important.
It's building, I think.
It's building.
Yeah. yeah.
The capacity of doing
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Councilor Fancy?
Yes, again, Jill, it's, I guess, going more, I'm looking on the small scale of the more of the community's calendar type of thing,
mm-hmm.
that there are so many things out here that, of course, people aren't promoting it well, but it's things like out in the Western Head or Milton or out in Fort Mattoon, the suppers and things,
mm-hmm.
if they could be promoted more, I think a lot of people say, hey, I got nothing to do tonight, why don't I run down there, but they're not, if we could get it somehow put together, I think of things like at Westfield, they always have they have some of the musical things
mm-hmm.
they have over there, and I see one's coming up here right away again, but nobody knows about these
mm-hmm.
things, because they're local events and things, even a community breakfast and things,
mm-hmm.
If it could all be put, so I know some people do it on the spur of the moment, but
mm-hmm.
as best you could, have on even a community page on our site or so. I don't know where it would have to be that everyone could be able to see.
Mm. I mean, we have an events calendar online, and Queen's Place has an
right.
events calendar
right.
as well, which, you know, anybody can check, but the information's only as good as the information
absolutely.
We get, and that's something we're going to do because we're working on the community guide is doing an email out to all the community organizations to ask for
mm.
their events, but we'll also do it via Facebook and, you know, other ways so that, you know, hopefully everybody sees it and responds, because it's nice to know the dates, the place, and where they can go for further information, and that's all that's needed to just get it plugged in. And it makes, you know, our calendar at the moment is looking very sparse, but we really need to plug in. And I think the, to your point as well, the visitors love community suppers, strawberry suppers,
yes,
blueberry suppers, those things, they're just so unique. You know, they don't happen where I come from, and it's they're just amazing. And they, there's a lot of, you know, heart and soul of community goes into putting those things on, and it's, and they always welcome seeing new people there.
Any other councillors? Councillor Crowley.
Again, Joe, amazing presentation, and I think it's really important for us to see this a lot. It's important for the public to see this, important for the community to understand what's happening in Queens. The one thing that we don't talk about, and I know as an organizer, it's daunting when you get started, but the support from sponsors and communities, it's just for every one of these. You know, we're often wrapped up in the negative of, you know, losing our population or losing business. But what we have for business and the sponsorship that's available for all these events is just amazing,
mm-hmm,
for everybody. Like you saw, the $17,000 is from the community and sponsors, and
mm-hmm, it's huge.
That is for a small community, a small county with a smaller population, absolutely amazing when you look at the number of events that we have. So we're very proud, you know, that we sponsor with Hell Bay rather than going to a corporate,
mm-hmm,
the way it was a few years ago,
mm-hmm,
where you had to go outside of the community to get sponsors. And so Hell Bay is now the main sponsor for the entertainment tent, and Ironworks down in Lunenburg, the main sponsor for the room run. So the more we have those sponsors and really feed,
mm-hmm,
the community with all of that, the bigger all these events are going to get. So
mm-hmm, and the bigger the businesses get too, because of the profile.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So we should be very proud of ourselves to have that list. And
mm-hmm,
I'm glad you took the extra time to go through it. So and thank you for your patience in getting all this information.